Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. And once again, I'm joined by James Benge as it is time for Inside Arsenal Extra Time. James, how are you doing, mate? All good?
I'm great. Yes. The sun is shining. Spring is sprung. And for once, you know, there's still meaningful football at Arsenal at this time of year.
And Arsenal top of the league.
They might not be by the time anyone listens to this.
At the time we're recording this, Arsenal exactly. Top of the league. By the time most of you watched it, listened to it, probably not. But you never know. Sheffield United might do something at Anfield a little bit later on. What do you reckon the chances are? Come on, what do you reckon the chances are? I haven't even looked at the odds, right? I'm going to bring up a betting company. I'm not going to name who because I don't want to advertise a betting company.
Well, right? While you're doing that, I spent like a long time with Tom Canton from Football.London on the walk back being like, well, you know, if I was picking a team of the big three that might drop points to Sheffield United, maybe it would be Liverpool. And even as I'm saying it, I'm like, James, this is absolute nonsense you are talking. I think the odds of a Liverpool win are, or a Sheffield United win, I would put at, I mean, it's a football contest, it's only like two teams playing, 12 to 1?
I can't even find it at the moment. I'm still trying to find it. You might need to add it. Here we go. So an away win tonight with just one booking company, betting company, sorry. Away win, 22 to 1 for a Sheffield United to win at Anfield. 13 to 1 for the draw. 1 to 16 on that Liverpool do the business.
Bafflingly, I'm looking at that thinking, you know, I could drop like 160 quid on that, make myself a tenner.
Do you reckon if they play, so they're 22 to 1, if they played that game 22 times, do you think they would actually win one, Sheffield United? I don't think they would.
22,000 times, yeah. I'd say they might sneak one.
Yeah, maybe I suppose in 22 games you might get a sending off or something like that. I suppose it might alter the context of it, but I would still back a 10-man Liverpool to beat this Sheffield United side at Anfield. I have to say, I wouldn't be putting a single penny ever on Sheffield United, I don't think, today. But, you know, never know. We'll all have our fingers crossed a little bit later on tonight anyway. But yeah, Arsenal did what they had to do last night, didn't they? It was, not a thriller by any means, but at this stage of the season, it's just about winning, isn't it? What were your sort of take on it was a pretty comfortable Arsenal win last night.
Yeah, in many ways, I thought it was sort of the perfect game for the changes Mikel Arteta made. I also thought, I just want to say from the off before I forget, like, kudos to Luton, because we talk about the changes that Arteta made. Rob Edwards has 11 or 13 players out, depending on where you can. You know, he was making changes he did not want to make, and I thought they were disciplined, well organised, that it was, you know, they made it so that it was really hard for Arsenal to break them down. But at 2-0, I kind of thought, like, pretty much both teams settled for it. We know who the sort of standouts were, and the hope coming out of this game is that Mikel Arteta has found two or three players, not that he didn't know about them before, but that he's got two or three players he's unearthed here in this game that could come on down the stretch. I don't think there'll be many more opportunities for him to start, but that can take half an hour out of Ødegaard's legs, come in for Saka when the game's won, and that's just what you need at this stage of the season.
Were you surprised when you saw the line out? I mean, I certainly was expecting changes. I wasn't expecting five. I thought there'd be some. How did you sort of react when you saw the starting lineup?
It's sort of a positive surprise. Speaking to a lot of people over the international break, I think the general consensus is like, you know, the reason that people are sceptical about Arsenal's ability to manage the run-in isn't just how difficult the fixtures are. It's that kind of past evidence is that Mikel Arteta probably won't make as many changes as you think he really ought to. And he did, didn't he? I thought it was about the sweet spot. I would have probably said some of the players that are Iron Men, the Ødegaards and Ben Whites, could have been taken off. But he left himself the options in the tank to win the game, to tighten up the game. I thought that the one that surprised me was Smith Rowe and Nelson, because I just felt like he'd lost faith in both of them. I think from watching on in the press box, I'm not sure that Nelson's done himself much good. There were a lot of moments early on when Mikel Arteta was pretty annoyed with him. But I felt like Smith Rowe was not going to start another game for Arsenal this season. And delighted to have been proven wrong and to see the Smith Rowe we were hoping for and thought we might get 2 years ago.
Yeah, I had a mad day yesterday. I was out, it's half term. So I had a family day out yesterday that had been planned for ages, and then they scheduled the Arsenal Luton game for the same night. It's like, oh no, what am I gonna do here? So I was at London Zoo all day, and then I had to bring my family back from London Zoo to where I live, literally drop them off at their house, go back to the station, go back to London and get to Arsenal. And
quickly on that, top animals? Top five?
God, I don't know. I don't know. To be honest, I was clock watching the whole time thinking, oh, God, I don't need to get back. Top animals. There were some very cool monkeys in there that I enjoyed. I can't remember. I think they were very cool with them. You could walk through the cage with them. And my son loves monkeys, so yeah, he enjoyed it. But anyway, so I rushed back, then got on the train, got up there. I missed the first 4 minutes of the game, which is why I didn't see you in the press room before the game. I only saw you afterwards. And I was on the train on the way up, and I saw the team came out as I was on the train. I looked at it and I was like, wow, that's, you know, I thought he was going to make changes. And I did my predicted 11 and the 11 I wanted to see. I did that in my show yesterday. And I had Nelson in the 11 that I wanted to see. And, you know, I love Smith Rowe, but I didn't even put Smith Rowe in there because I did not expect Emil to start like you. I wasn't expecting to see him start. So I was hoping he would, but I just didn't expect it to happen. But I thought Rhys probably had a chance because of the Saka injury. And I suppose when you look at some of the other changes as well, they are technically changes from the Man City game, but you're talking about Alexander Zinchenko and Leandro Trossard and Thomas Partey. I mean, we're not talking about kids. So I thought it was quite interesting, the reaction, as I was sitting on the train, scrolling through social media, looking at the reactions to the team news. Everyone was like, oh, this is too much. This is disrespectful to Luton. It was like, you're not talking about kids being thrown in here against another Premier League team. You're talking about experienced international players plus Emil Smith Rowe, who is in international, and Reece, who's been around for a long, long time. So I didn't think it was a hugely weakened team when you looked at that 11. It still looked like a good 11 to me. I don't know about you.
Absolutely. In many ways, it's sort of we spoke like 2 weeks ago on the show, didn't we, about how it felt like Arsenal were maybe a little short of having that true City level depth. But you realise it's not that far away.
No.
You know, they brought on Luton were bringing on a player in, that's not Luke Berry, two-time member of the EFL League Two Team of the Year. Arsenal brought on the 2021 UEFA Men's Player of the Year. You know, the depth at full strength is staggering. And obviously there's still timber to come. And like you say, like, we all like to think of a sort of first choice 11 and all those things. But players like Zinchenko, to an extent Partey, although like he's clearly lost a yard, maybe he'll get that back, maybe he won't. But players like Zinchenko and Partey are not like first 11 or otherwise players. They are just, they're players that you use in specific circumstances. I don't think, given what we've seen from Jakub Kivior, that if there was another trip to Anfield on the cards, Oleksandr Zinchenko would be in the starting 11 for that. But you know, there are going to be a lot of games where his qualities shine through. Games like this one, where Arsenal are trying to sort of prize apart a mid-block, and I thought he was quite good. No matter how polarising he was, I thought he was quite good. Yeah, it wasn't disrespectful at all. not in the slightest. I think there are people that might feel disrespected are the sort of Fabio Vieiras of the world who were... We really are cast to the fringes. And I was quite surprised he didn't get any minutes at all.
Yeah, I saw quite a few people have commented on that, actually, on the show I did this morning about they were surprised Vieira didn't at least get sort of 10 or 15 minutes at the end. Look, let's talk about Emil now, because, look, we're both of us are very big Emil Smith-Rowe fans. I think that's been made very, very clear on what we talked about on the show before. And I was delighted seeing him in the starting 11. I really was hoping he was going to take his chance and seize his chance. And I mean, you can't really do much more than he did last night. He had a hand in both goals, was named man of the match by TNT Sports, was voted man of the match by the Arsenal fans as well on Arsenal.com. You know, it was just a very, very good performance from Emil, given it was only his second start since, I think, October in the Premier League. The only other one was that game at Nottingham Forest. And I'm surprised he stayed on as long as he did. I thought sort of 60 minutes he'd be gone because he was blowing. You could see he was blowing. I think the whole Arsenal team, like half of the Arsenal team was blowing by 60 minutes, which I think it had an impact on what we saw in the second half as well. Because you kind of, when you lose that impetus, which Arsenal clearly did, which I think was down to fatigue and tiredness, no matter who you bring on, I think it's hard to suddenly get that impetus back once you've already lost it. But I thought he did really, really well. And there was lots to like about his performance. Obviously, the second goal was really heavily involved. And I don't know, he doesn't get the assist for that, does he? I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Incredibly harsh, I think. But I think what he did for that first goal, that's the sort of thing I think Arteta is going to appreciate even more than the second one. Just winning the ball back, the pressing that he did to win it. And it wasn't the first time he did that. You know, and Arteta spoke about it. It's what he had to say afterwards. He said, I love him as a player, joy to watch how he moves, how he changes direction, how physical he was today as well without the ball. He won a lot of duels and he was thinking with that killer instinct to play forward and to make things happen. And when Emil is in that moment, it's very difficult to stop. He helped us win the game. And when he talks there about how sort of physical he was without the ball, I think that's so, so important to Mikel Arteta, isn't it? And everything that he looks at when he assesses Emil's performance, that's going to be right towards the top of his thinking.
I think it was always the thing that hovered over Arteta pre-Smith-Rowe's injury, and why Smith-Rowe, even though he was then a regular starter, and you remember there was a time when Martin Ødegaard couldn't get in the 11 so that Arteta could fit Smith-Rowe in. But what I always heard was a bit lightweight. That was the concern. And of course, he was a kid. You know, if anyone's allowed to be, it's someone that's not yet grown into their body. Mm. And I think there have been occasions where he's come back, Emil, for a couple of games and maybe actually looked a little too bulky. But I feel like right now he looked and he was playing in that sort of, like, he had the right body type for what was asked of him. I mean, for that goal, we should say, you know, Pelle Runacampansu is not a small, diminutive midfielder. You know, Smith Rowe wasn't knocking Santi Cazorla off the ball. He was knocking a proper battle-hardened, come all the way up through the EFL midfielder. And there were lots of occasions where that happened. And the thing I really like that Arteta didn't mention, although it sort of hinted at with that killer instinct to play forward, twice in the first half, he had bad fouls on him. But the referee, was it Craig Pawson, was like, I'll give you the free kick, but Smith Rowe's already played this great pass, Arsenal, and you're flying up the pitch. So take the advantage instead. As good as anyone in this Arsenal squad, I think that Will Shearer talent for drawing the tackle, but the ball's already gone by the time you go in and foul him. It was top stuff. It really was. And like you say, it was top stuff for about 50 minutes and then the legs went. But I think in that case, what we're talking about is just someone that doesn't have match rhythm. And you can't replicate that on the training ground. You just have to earn that through games.
Yeah, I mean, that was absolutely understandable, wasn't it? You're definitely going to tire in that situation if you're someone who's played that few amount of games going forward. But yeah, it just brings something different to this Arsenal team. He genuinely has. I know you hear that said about a lot of players. Oh, he's got something a little bit different than anyone else in the squad. But I think Smith Rowe definitely has, and that's what makes him such an appealing option. And that's why I think he's just been so underused by Arteta. You know, there's not much that Arteta's got wrong. And you look at where Arsenal are in the table, while they're in the Champions League, and he'll point to that. But I still feel that Emil's just been a little bit underused. He's got talent. We saw that yesterday. We saw it when he played against Nottingham Forest as well. And it just feels like he's just been underused. And it is a little bit frustrating. And I mean, in terms of his future, now I spoke about it this morning on my show, and couple of people have got in touch here about it, and RBCN1MX, pretty sure that's not your name, says, Charles, I don't understand why you're constantly saying ESR will go. Yesterday he showed why he deserves his place in the team. An injury to Odegaard, Leo Martinelli would open up space for him in the team. I'd be very angry if we sell ESR. How are we talking about selling ESR, yet everything is silent on Vieira? What has Vieira done that ESR hasn't? Our Haaland boys should be kept and given the benefit of the doubt more than the internationals we sign, especially since ESR is so loyal and said multiple times he wants to fight for his place in the team. Paul Below says, you often speak about ESR story coming to an end at Arsenal, but history tells you that we won't sell Ramsdale, Eddie, Nelson and ESR this summer, maybe two or three max. Also, considering the homegrown quota, I expect ESR to still be here next year. And there are other comments as well from sort of saying very similar stuff. And I couldn't say I'm 100% sure, but I still think we are seeing the end of ESR's story at Arsenal. I'll be very, very surprised if he's at Arsenal next season. And I don't want that to be the case. I'm not saying I want that to be the case. If it was up to me, he'd be staying and we'd be seeing him play an awful lot more. But I just think it's pretty apparent that Arteta, for whatever reason, doesn't really, really sort of see him fitting in going forward. And I think for ESR especially, take Arsenal out of the equation, he needs to go and start playing football. He can't have another season like he's had now or another 18 months like he's had now, because he's been fit for the majority of those 18 months. It's not that he's been injury prone since he's had that operation last season. By and large, since he's come back, he's been fit and he's been healthy. He's just not played. And why would you, if you're Emil Smith Rowe, want another season or two seasons of that? And you've got to take his contract into the, add that into the scenario as well. It feels inevitable, unfortunately, that Emil's future is going to lie away from Arsenal, and that decision might well be taken this summer, both by him and by Arsenal. And I mean, let me know. Do you disagree with that?
I mean, look, when people sort of talk about you or anyone else, sort of, it seems to me like, although these words haven't been used, but sort of like peddling a narrative. I mean, we should reaffirm, like, you know, we don't just make this up in our head. Like, you know, I think the same as you, I think ESR will probably go. And I have spoken to enough people to make me feel pretty confident in that view. Like, the whole point would be, like, of course there is a scenario where that changes. You know, if he goes into the 11 against Brighton and delivers another performance at this level and then does that again and again and again, Arsenal minds will change and ESR's mind will I mean, not even change, but the evidence base has shifted.
I know. When you talk about ESR as well, I don't think it's that he wants to go. Is it? If everything was right, ESR would be staying at Arsenal and he would have no problem with that.
And Arsenal would equally be delighted to have a squad with ESR in it. But I think they also, you know, they will look at his career, their finances. He will look at his career and developing. And right now, given the information we have, like that's why we think the ESR story is coming to an end, because you see, he is too talented to play 400 minutes of Premier League football or whatever he's on now, 450. Like that situation can't stay. And I know that. But I think, you know, I'd rather see Arsenal win trophies, but I would take some degree of delight if the next few months see ESR change the story and stick around and sign a new deal. It'd be great fun.
Nothing would make me happier than that. But like you said, the direction that everything appears to be heading in, and from, as you say, the conversations that we've both had, that it certainly seems like the direction of travel is that he's probably going to end up moving on, as much of a shame that will be. I would love, though, between now and then, if that is the summer, that he has a really huge moment. I think I've got a, let me just take these down. There's a, someone messaged. I think it's this one. Let's have a look. Yeah. Of all Arsenal players,
yes,
who do you think has that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer Nou Camp moment in them to win us a league or a Champions League final? I think it's Elneny. This is actually Mark Manbryan's clearly sending me this message. I can't actually read who the name is there. It's like S Bonkalika. Honestly, I say it so many times. I would love people, when they write the comments in,
write sign name.
Your name rather than username that is almost impossible to read. Just put your name at the bottom so we can actually attribute it to a proper name. But yeah, of all our squad players, who do you think has that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer Nou Camp moment in them? I mean, I would, of all the squad players, it would have to be for me, Emil. And that, I mean, it's a romantic thought, 100%.
Can I give you
a... I also think it's a realistic thought as well. When you look at those players who could do something, come off the bench and needed and really win a game, as Mikel said in the press conference in the build-up to yesterday's game, you know, take that, you have 2 seconds, you can have this moment that you'll remember, go down in history on. I do look at Emil as someone who'd be right at the top of that list when it comes to the squad players who would do it.
Let's do the moment. Saka cross from the right, and Nketiah's in the box. Drops to him, back to goal, knocks it up, and it's sitting up for Reece Nelson to hit the Bournemouth goal again. But this time he plays the pass inside and Emile Smith-Rowe puts it in. That's what you want. That's the ending. Yeah, I mean, Smith-Rowe gets in these positions to have these. You know,
he criticism could be on about 5 goals this season. He's barely played, but it genuinely could easily be on about 5 goals this season. Every time he's on the pitch, he's had a really good chance or two that he hasn't taken. He's just not quite sharp enough in front of goal at the moment, is he?
Not remotely. I'm just looking at the stats here because I have a little suspicion that when we look at the most shots, so if you go per 90 minutes, and of course we have to say Smith-Rowe has played 315 minutes, but Smith-Rowe gets 3.4 shots per 90. That's more than Nketiah, more than Jesus, more than Saka, Martinelli. So the only person ever so slightly more is Leo Trossard. He gets in these positions, especially on the edge of the box, and his first instinct isn't always to play the pass. It's to shoot, and that's really valuable. That's how he got loads of goals. Had a bit of a hot streak in that first season. Yeah. And it's a bit of a shame the technique deserted him last night, but he strikes a ball well. And I would not be surprised if there's an Emil Smith-Rowe moment between now and the end of the season. And then actually, I think you should go, kind of like Reece Nelson should have gone. Ideally, just walked off after the Bournemouth game into the sunset. That's what I'd have done.
I'd be leaving after that. Nothing can top that. I'm not even playing again after that.
Retire.
Riding off into the North London sunset after that goal.
Straight down the pub, straight down the Tollington.
There's a quote here from Emil after the game. He's talking about his situation. He said, it's been a really tough season for me and some of the other players who haven't played as much as we'd like to. It's important that we came in tonight and put in a performance to show the manager that we can be part of this team. He told us in the morning we'd be starting, but I think it just shows the mentality of the team. All season, the boys are ready to step in and put in a performance, and I think it shows how tight we are as a team. It's like a family. We're really happy that players can come in and still perform. That's what it's about, the strength in depth. Is really good. So admits it's been a tough season, and it has. It's definitely been a difficult season. I think that's why when we talk about someone having a moment, he would just be at the top of the list of pretty much everyone. I mean, you saw the reception he got when he went off last night, and he talked about it pitch side as well. Just when he warms up sometimes, even when he's not coming on, the reception he gets from the fans down on the touchline. He's such a much loved member of this team and this squad still that I think if he does end up going in the summer, it's going to be a real, real shame, and it's going to upset an awful lot of people. But I just feel, I'd be surprised if that's not the direction we're heading in. But still got 2 months to have that moment, and fingers crossed it will come.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, looking at how Arsenal are panning out, this is Arsenal in 2024 in the league. I mean, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? We haven't spoken since the City game, have we? Were you surprised by the negative reaction that Arsenal's performance seemed to generate?
From Liverpool fans?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, it's not really from... I haven't really heard it from too many pundits or stuff like that. It seems to be more social media that I'm thinking of there, but and rival fans. But yeah, but some Arsenal fans as well were kind of disappointed with the performance. And I thought they were really, really good at the Etihad.
Can I say, first of all, I find the term neutral fan very suspect. Like, who are these people that are like getting into football, but like going, well, I won't pick a team. I just want to be entertained. Who are like, putting on Manchester City against Arsenal, being like, well, I hope the real winner's football here. Really weird.
There's a debate, because it was the most highest drawing game in the States, wasn't it, ever, Premier League match. I think it got the highest rating. But then people are saying, but it was a 0-0 draw with barely any chances. Does that damage soccer's reputation in the States? What is that? What is football? What is that about? I don't understand.
No, first of all, because, you know, they get plenty of entertainment. They've got Lionel Messi over there. Probably the thing that's damaging his reputation most is him never being fit. I think to an extent, though, I mean, like, take the US out of it. I think we sort of come to a moment where, for one thing, people don't appreciate good quality defensive football. I understand if your, like, aesthetic preferences are to see five-goal thrillers, you know, 3-2. I would rather watch Liverpool 4, Newcastle United 3 from the 90s again. But I enjoyed watching how well Gabriel and Salih, and I when I sit in the press box, personally, I find it very easy to kind of watch this as a neutral. I know there are others on the Arsenal patch and elsewhere that don't, but I do. And whether people believe me or not, they can say. I just really enjoyed watching Arsenal defend really well. You sometimes get the same, I think, when you watch Tony Pulis teams at the peak of their powers. There is something you can like kind of take and enjoy from that. It's fun watching a good, well-organized plan come together. It's fun watching people, you know, dig at each other and scrap for every yard of territory. I think it's a sort of reflects a slightly lazy way people watch football, that they just want to, have, you know, their phone up and then they go, oh, goal. And then they can do some great, you know, the mean potential in that game was very low. But I mean, you know, we were both there. It's also true that I think when you're there, you get the tension, you get the joy of that. You get, you know, you're kicking every ball, whoever you're supporting or whether you're just there as a neutral. I actually enjoyed that football match.
I enjoyed it.
Sorry.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. And also, when you look at those results, the outlier there, it's not that Arsenal are doing that week in, week out. They're scoring goals left, right, and centre at the moment.
But Rob Edwards said that last night. He said they're the only team of the top three that can, they can defend, they can counter, they can 100%, 80% possession and beat you that way and that way and that way. And also, yeah, with like an Arsenal perspective, how nice is it just. Not watching a clown car at the back.
Exactly. And how nice is it coming away from the Etihad and not losing 4 or 5-0, which seems to have been the case every single time we've been up there for the last 9 years or whatever it is. So I thought it was really good. I thought it showed another side of Arsenal. And yeah, 4 goals conceded so far in the league in 2024. Absolutely brilliant. It really is. And I thought that was just a masterclass of a defensive performance. And, Arsenal had the better chances in that game as well. Had Arsenal been a little bit more clinical in front of goal, they win that game. And you walk off and it is literally a Arteta masterclass, as it would have been hailed, I'm sure, if Gabriel Jesus had just got on the end of Saka's cross, or Jesus hadn't scuffed a couple wide in the first half, or Trossard had a better first touch and managed to square that ball to Martinelli with 5 minutes to go when he'd been released by Odegaard. No, I thought it was a really, really good performance. You just look at what City did to Aston Villa last night, you know, took them apart, the Etihad, and that never looked like happening against Arsenal. So, no, really enjoying this run of form. And the title race is just so, so exciting, isn't it? And like we said at the start of the show, obviously, by the time people are watching or listening to this episode, then, you know, more than likely Liverpool back sitting on the top of the Premier League. They'll be on 70 points, 2 points ahead of Arsenal, 3 points ahead of City, with 8 games remaining in the league. I mean, it doesn't get much more exciting than that, does it? For Arsenal head to Brighton at the weekend. Brighton, I think it was 0-0 yesterday with Brentford at the G-Tech. What are you envisaging Arteta to do against Brighton? Obviously, 5 changes last night. We're going to see more changes there with some of the big hitters, if you want to call that, coming back into the side. What are you expecting from Arteta at the Amex?
Yeah, I think you'll see, like you say, those big hitters will be back. My suspicion is that Bukayo Saka will be back. Kind of what I was told last night was this was really a precaution. He played a full part in training and it just was like, let's not gamble on this one.
Does it not worry you? Because it's a hamstring, isn't it? Anything hamstring related to me is a slight little worry when it comes to Bukayo. I mean, it just looked wrong. Yet he had on Sunday. I was like, get him off the pitch. I was saying it to the guy sitting next to me. I was like, I can't believe he's still on the pitch. So if there is even if it's a nagging little thing that, yeah, might be precautionary, the fact that it's a hamstring, I'd much rather it be any other sort of muscle problem than a hamstring, I have to say, because if that goes, then you're in a world of trouble.
Yeah, you've talked me around a bit there. Maybe he's in the squad, but not the 11, you know, if needed. Because I don't think he should be needed. I mean, for starters, you can run a front three of Jesus, Martinelli and Havertz, which is what I think we'll see up top, and keep him there, because you've got to think about that Bayern game, not as a priority, but you just got to have it in mind.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued how he sets up the midfield. Doesn't quite feel like it feels like it could be a game that Jorginho plays well in. And then you don't need Zinchenko, but you could also talk me into like a midfield three of Rice, Smith Rowe, Odegaard, reward him for his good performance, see if we can get a good 65, 70 minutes out of him and play Zinchenko at left back. Because, you know, you're going to need players that can play through that Brighton press quite well. I mean, and you're going to need players that can sort of deal with a game that, if it's anything like Liverpool against Brighton, can become a bit basketball-y.
Yeah.
So I find it hard to know what he's going to do in the best way possible, because, you know, you can spend the next 72 hours sort of picking at where you think the game can be won and lost and just tailor your side for that one. I think Havertz had a great game, didn't he, last time out against Brighton. Was he an 8 then, though?
Yes, he was an 8. When he scored his goal, I think he'd moved up to play as a 9 for the last sort of 25 minutes, and he got the second goal, didn't he?
Yeah, I like the idea of him as someone both that can go long, and also I think if you have Jesus and Havertz and Odegaard in your press in whatever way, like, the thing that Brighton will always try and do is bait you into the press and pass around you. And what Arsenal did so well last time out was they pressed them anyway and were like, yeah, we're bigger and stronger than you. We'll press you and we'll take the ball off you. I would want Havertz involved in some way, maybe as the 9. And I think I've talked myself into Jorginho and Rice for that reason, if Arsenal are going to be pushing up in the press. What about you?
I'd be surprised if Emil starts again in that game, despite his performance yesterday. It's hard not to have Bayern in your head, isn't it, when you're looking at the team on Saturday? And I'm sure, as much as Mikel always say, look, next game is most important, Brighton's most important, I'm not thinking about Bayern. He must be thinking about Bayern when he picks his team on Saturday. You have to have a little bit of long-term thinking, don't you, I think, at this stage of the season when it comes to team selection. I think Jorginho plays at a weekend. I reckon he'll come into the team in that. I don't know, even saying that, I'm talking myself out of it, because then I think Jorginho probably plays against Bayern, doesn't he? Do you play?
I think he can do that, but then you won't get him against Villa.
Yeah. It's tough, isn't it?
I mean, it's, and then there's Bayern 3 days out. I mean, no, almost no one, maybe Rice, maybe Ødegaard, maybe White, can play both legs of the semi-final, quarter-final and Villa.
I think all four of those players start all four of those games.
But I think they're the only, other than obviously...
Saliba and Gabriel, yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe Smith-Rowe would get... Maybe you do keep Smith-Rowe in the team against Brighton. I mean, if Saka doesn't make it, who are you putting on the right? You're playing Jesus on the right? You're keeping Reece Nelson on the right?
I think I'd go Jesus on the right.
Yeah,
he didn't get any minutes in him. Yeah, get some minutes in those lines. Well, that was a weird one because the one thing I wouldn't... You were like, oh, is this a fitness thing? But tell you what, he looked more than fit enough against City.
Yeah, and I watched him afterwards. When I was doing my video afterwards, I was watching, you know, the substitutes game because I was interested to see if Saka was involved in that because Saka actually arrived with the squad, didn't he? I was like, oh, will they give him a little bit of a run out in this game just to see how he is? But he didn't. He wasn't involved in it. But Jesus was, and Jesus was tearing around in that game.
So
they definitely didn't look like it was any sort of injury issue with him. It was just clearly they decided not to give him any minutes. And again, that must be probably the long-term planning, a little bit of long-term planning when you're making your team selection and you're looking at all the games that are coming thick and fast now. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. It's going to be a tough game. I think that Brighton game at the Emirates was one of Arsenal's best performances of the season before they've had this mad run where all the goals started going in. But up to that point, I remember saying that was probably Arsenal's best performance. They dominated that game against a team who always caused Arsenal problems at the Emirates. And that was a really solid performance. Then I don't think Havertz was at nine actually for that goal because I think Eddie Nketiah set him up for that goal actually. So Eddie must have come on and been playing as a striker because I'm pretty sure it was his through ball that set Havertz away. It'll be interesting. But it's as we said, the options that Arteta has available to him now and the strength and depth he has certainly is going to make his job a hell of a lot easier when it comes to picking these teams over the next few weeks. Bayern Munich, I mean, God, how big a game is that coming up? I can't believe we're less than a week away from that. That is going to be special. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there and I'm not going to be here because I'm on holiday, which timing-wise is not...
Have you checked what Arsenal's record is when you're on holiday? These are crucial swing factors.
This is really important. I am going to centre parks, this week. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an Easter tradition that we have. We go away for the second week of half-term to centre parks. And guess where we were when Arsenal lost 5-1 at home to Bayern Munich last time they played him in a knockout round?
Not the same centre parks, surely.
I can't actually remember if it's the same one.
They are pretty interchangeable.
I think it might have been a different one. I think it might have been Woburn. We're going to Elverdon this time. I think it might be. There are other holiday destinations available, by the way.
But they aren't. We know they aren't as good as centre parks. If you're watching this and you're thinking, you know, we need to get some YouTubers down there. Both Charles and I are quite free in the summers.
We can
do our transfer stuff from anywhere.
The Rapids, Overton Forest Rapids.
Nottingham
Forest Rapids. I'm trying not to, with my superstitious hat on, I'm trying to put that out of my mind in terms of that Bayern Munich game, but I'll certainly be watching it while we're there. So it's going to be interesting, but what a hell of a next few weeks it's going to be for Arsenal. Just a couple of comments and questions before we wrap this one up. There's one here from, is that Jaffim? It looks like it's extra time. I was quite surprised by the number of rotations for the Luton game, but fortunately it paid off. Interested to hear your thoughts on how we rotate the squad for the upcoming games, particularly in the UCL. Defence, backline pretty much picks itself, with left back really the only option. Though Kivior probably plays most minutes. Midfield, Odegaard and Rice start all the games, with Partey getting more and more minutes, and Jorginho only a few cameos for ESR. Forward, Kayan, Saka, fitness allowing, start all games. Jesus to start the UCL. Martinelli and Trossard sharing EPL minutes on the left. Great content as always. Cheers, gents. I think he's not far wrong. Certainly in defence, I don't think you're gonna see much in terms of rotation when it comes to Saliba, Gabriel and White. That left back position will be, I mean, maybe with Tomiyasu back now, it does give you the opportunity we did see it in the first half of the season, didn't we? You'd get to 60 minutes and suddenly White would be coming off and Tomiyasu would be coming on. Hasn't really had the option to do that, but Tomiyasu being back does now, at least you'd think he might be able to lessen some of White's load between now and the end of the
Tomiyasu
season.
Tomiyasu could be massive.
Yeah, I thought he was good yesterday when Tomiyasu came on.
Really
actually, he was quite sharp. There was a couple of sprints where he looked pretty, he looked sharp, I thought. And I thought that was really, really positive. I thought Partey's performance in the first half was positive as well. Like Smith-Rowe, he tired. He still does look a bit slow. I don't think he's definitely, you know, I'm hoping that's something that will come back the more minutes he plays and you get up to speed more. I think he's just lacking that sort of, he's never had real rapid acceleration, but he's just lacking a little bit what he was before the time off. But I'm sure that comes back. But there was lots I thought to like and feel positive about in that first half performance from Partey. I'm not sure, though, if he's going to get more minutes than Jorginho between now and the end of the season. I think it's the other way around. I think Jorginho probably is ahead of Partey in the picking order right now when it comes to Arteta's thinking. Do you?
Absolutely. I think there's a little bit more versatility that Jorginho gives you. And I think he just pairs really nicely with Rice. And we've not seen Rice and Partey together. Just, it's unknown commodities. If this was January, you know, you'd be saying, well, yeah, you know, there will be the games to try out Partey and Rice. They won't.
No.
They just really won't. And
he says that a lot, doesn't he, Arteta? He talks about partnerships being really, really important, even when you're making changes. You know, do these players know each other? And as much as we're all so excited about the partnership of Rice and Partey, it is an unknown, isn't it? Because we just haven't seen it. And can you really test it out in the middle of a title run?
I suppose the only thing you would say is that Partey is a sort of, like, it would just be a fairly similar setup-wise to Jorginho and Rice. Mm. Rice would do the same job. I don't know what it is. I think maybe because Partey's had a bit more pace without ever being the quickest. I don't know if his anticipation is what Jorginho's is. I just feel like Jorginho's a little bit more likely to be Mr. 7 out of 10. I thought Partey was good, but same as against City, like there were good moments and there were sort of yikes moments. And I don't think you get, you obviously have had one very famous moment with Jorginho, but I don't think there's quite the level of variance with him that there is with Partey, a half or a recovering his fitness Partey.
Yeah. I think that's the key thing, the recovering his fitness Partey. And, you know, there's not that much time left of the season now. So I just think the fact that Jorginho's has that rhythm and, you know, Arteta knows he can trust him to go in and put, like you said, at least a 7 out of 10 performance. I think he's probably ahead of Partey. Interesting here, he says forward Kai and Saka starting all of the games.
No.
Would you go along with that? Or do you think Jesus, we're going to see more and more as the season reaches its climax, providing he can stay fit?
Yeah, I think we will. Like you, I saw that small-sided drill and Jesus looked hot form. I think he will. Oof. But then, whilst Havertz, I did like against Luton as well, he was absolutely fine. So it's tough. It's almost the same thing all over again as the Partey-Jorginho conversation. Good dilemmas to have. That one, I'm going to say, I find hard to call. I think we might see a lot of Kai and Jesus together.
Yeah, he's still two bookings away from a yellow card, isn't he? From a two-match ban, sorry.
Kai. Yeah, confusion there.
There was confusion going on yesterday, wasn't there? And I was coming home on the train, and I was looking at it, and I was like, I can only see eight yellow cards. He's not on, I swear he's not on nine, and he's definitely only on eight. So he'd have to get booked in the next two games, wouldn't he, to get that 10-game ban. Stupid dive yesterday.
It was dreadful.
It was the last thing he did. Like, he was literally about to go off the pitch, and you go and get yourself booked, and it basically means you're still walking that suspension tightrope over the next couple of games. Such a stupid dive as well. I hope Arteta had a right go at him afterwards because he should do. That was just a silly yellow card for him to collect. That's good. I think this is the last one we'll go with now. With the way Ben White's career, this is from Alfred the Great, with the way Ben White's career at Arsenal has gone, I really see him moving into the number six position to replace Partey next season. I actually think Arteta has planned and hoped for this since day one. If we hear rumours of interest in a right back again, I think that will confirm it, to be honest. Will be easier to find a right back to slot in than a number six and cheaper. I'm at 80% sure, to be honest. What about you two? I mean, 80%, that is very, very sure. I am 10% sure, I would say. I don't really see Ben White as a six option. I'm sure he could do it. Look, Ben White's one of those footballers who can play pretty much every position you put him in because he's such a good footballer. Technically, he's so good. But I don't know. I don't really see him as a six option for Arsenal unless a lot of players are injured. And I don't really see it. I think another six option comes in the summer.
Same. I agree. I know he's done it before. I want to say either at Leeds or Brighton.
He did it at Leeds, didn't he? He definitely did it at Brighton. He definitely did it at Brighton, at least for a couple of games. But I think he did it at Leeds as well.
But also, he's one of the best right backs in the world. And I don't even think it's that sort of Trent Alexander-Arnold style. Like, you know, he gives us so much as attacking as a right back that we're just going to reconfigure our team. He's more of a... No, he's an orthodox right back, and every other sort of right back you need, play him at right back, and you let him do whatever. I mean, I'll be well up for it. Be well up for him getting a game at 10 after that Zidane-esque performance.
Did you see his little turn yesterday? It was brilliant.
Was Steve Holland in the crowd? He was in like full on like. If you talk about disrespecting Luton, like Ben White disrespected Luton.
We haven't even spoken Leandro Trossard's Cruyff turn on Andros Townsend as well. No.
It literally did that to a senior citizen.
It's really, really funny. I did laugh at that. Yeah, that was good. I'd love to have that resulted in a goal. So yeah, look, Alfred the Great, thank you very much for your question. And yeah, please do, everyone, when you do send in your questions, if you haven't got a username like Alfred the Great, which is very easy to read out, finish off your questions or your comment with your name. It would just make it a lot easier, and then we can easily attribute your question to yourself. So I think that's it for now. James, are you at Brighton at the weekend?
No, Liverpool United is the game to watch this weekend, isn't it?
When is that? Is that Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday, 3:30.
Is that at Anfield?
Yeah. Don't get your hopes up about
it. No, it's not at Anfield. No, they drew 0-0 at Anfield this season, didn't they?
Okay.
Yeah, they did. They
still don't get your hopes up.
Well, you know, I beat them the other day in the cup at Old Trafford, didn't they? So it can be done.
I'm off to see them later this evening, United against Chelsea. It's like pure banter era. Two teams in the midst of their banter eras facing against each other.
Brentford United at the weekend was hilarious. How they scored in the 93rd minute, 95th minute after getting hammered for the whole game, mad celebrations, and then still managed to give away an equaliser. Just absolutely brilliant. Did make me laugh. Well, I am at Brighton at the weekend, so yeah, and that's going to be my last game. I then miss Bayern and Aston Villa because of my holiday, which so hopefully Arsenal go out on a high on Saturday. But yeah, I'll catch up with you soon. We are, everyone watching, even though I'm away on holiday next week, so content's going to be, I don't know, I was going to say at a minimum. I will try and put some stuff out if my wife allows me. But we are recording, myself and James, a pre-recording a show that's going to go out next week, so there will still be an Inside Arsenal.
To explain why we won't have changed, why we'll have the same clothes.
We're going to be wearing the exact same clothes because we are recording it back to back as soon as we finish this one. A little player of the season special we are going to do. But until next time, which is in about 1 minute's time, James.
See you then.
Have a great day. Cheers for it. And thanks for watching, everyone. As usual, be back tomorrow doing the usual show. Anything you want me to speak about, discuss, any questions you want to fire at me, you know what to do in the comments below, and put your name at the bottom of it. That would be great. Until then, everyone, have a great day. Cheers, James. Speak to you soon, mate.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.